Well, life on a farm, a kind of laid back, ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack, I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. Tractor sexy.
Goodbye, city life.
Thank God I'm a country boy. Woohoo!
Yes, it's the time of the week when we talk to our good friend, our farmer expert in Jay, Florida, Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms. Ryan, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir. Hey, Ryan, you there, brother?
Hello.
Hey, can you hear me all right?
Yes, how are y'all doing?
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, we're doing great. Good to have you back on the show, sir. So I know we're going to get into what's like happened in the last week or so, but I do have just had a couple of questions that I wanted to ask you before we get to your week on the farm. First one is somebody had asked me, with the price of diesel going through the roof, how that has affected your business.
It's affected it very negatively, not only from the cost of the diesel that we put in our equipment every day. You know, it's going up, probably approaching three times as much as we've been paying for it typically, more than doubled. And so that is a big impact to us, but as well as all the products that we use, you know, everything that we use has been trucked in. So the truckers, you know, when the diesel bill goes up for them, they just pass it along to whoever they're working for, so we end up catching all that on the end. And then, you know, as long as petroleum is up, our fertilizer prices and things like that are going to be up. So it's a snowball effect, and it's affecting us very very negatively.
Is there any indication that the price you'll be able to sell at is going to be raised? Because you don't really control that. We talked about that before. Are you just getting squeezed, or is there going to be a chance to make it up on the back end?
The prices are up. The commodity prices are up from where they typically are, but still, they haven't gone up really enough to cover the cost of all the rise and inputs. They've just kind of gone up together. So now, you know, I don't know. Let's just throw numbers out there, not necessarily from our farm. You know, if it used to cost $500,000 to make your crop, and now it costs $1 million to make your crop, but you're going to make the same amount of money at the end, all you've done is just put a lot more liability out there.
Yeah.
So it's not that we're going to be any more profitable. It's just that the numbers are bigger.
Well, yeah, and I mean, when you're always talking about alternate investments, right? Even if you make the same total profit, and I know you're not saying that you even will do that, but even if you did, based on the investment, the cost out, you know, that makes the investment just as a business much less rewarding. Huh, that makes sense. Tragically, one of the other things I wanted to ask you about is we've been talking briefly today about the hammerhead worm and the Asian jumping worm, a couple of invasive species, and I had somebody text me and said he'd seen them in Florida. Have you guys encountered either one of these as a problem in your fields?
I haven't, but you know what? Almost every year there's some kind of new insect or some kind of new disease that we have to deal with and learn about. And I haven't seen those that you're talking about, but it wouldn't surprise me to see them throughout the growing season.
All right, very good. So what have you been up to in the past week? You went to Future Farmers of America convention, right?
Future Farmers of America, the FFA, had their state convention in Orlando last week. We were able to go down to that. One of my sons was getting a state degree, so that was exciting. But what's more exciting was there were close to 5,000 FFA members there representing chapters throughout the state. So when you see that many people that are all pulling for the same team, you know that the future of agriculture is bright. And being called Future Farmers of America doesn't necessarily mean that all those kids are going to be farmers, but they will have a background in agriculture, and you know they are going to be our future leaders. And it was just a very impressive thing. I wish people could see what all this organization does to promote agriculture and to promote leadership, you know, throughout the world. It's a very impressive organization, so it was a good time.
Well, that's really obviously very encouraging news, and that's something you and I have talked a little bit about before, just that, you know, We have to raise the crops in order to feed the kids and the adults, but we have to raise the next crop of farmers too. You know, we've got to get those kids raised up and interested and willing. And as you've said, many of your friends, you know, the average age of the farmer is increasing, and that's a problem because somebody's going to have to make the wheat and the corn and the soybeans and the peanuts, you know, and whether we keep doing that, that's really vital. What else you been up to this week? You had the replants in. How are they doing?
So everything's good there. We've gone back and looked at everything that we had to replant a week or so ago, and everything's up and growing. So I think we can officially call it the end of planting season for us and wash the planters up and put them up until next year. So that's always a good feeling. You know, that's something that you can check off the list for the year. So that makes you feel good.
Well, that's great news. And so now you're into maintenance and oversight and what, fighting off the pests and making sure everything that gets its nutrients it needs, right?
That's right. So from here on out, you know, there'll be some feeding our crops the nutrients they need, which mostly this time of year will be nitrogen on our cotton. The corn's done with. It's all it's got to do is finish growing, and we'll be harvesting it here in another month and a half or 2 months, the good Lord willing. And just a lot of scouting our crops. You know, you can't, just like you're talking about the worms that you were talking about, you know, you can't let a week go by. And really, we try to do it about twice a week, go around and look at all of our crops and make sure, you know, there are no damage that we don't know about, or any pests or weeds that we don't know about. And then, you know, there'll be a lot of spraying going on this time of the year. So it's still a very busy time of the year, but you can slow down and take a breath now, you know, until it gets harvest season.
It's funny how and part of the reason I wanted to do this segment with you this year is to give people a sense of, you know, when it's just intense and there's never enough time. And then sometimes the year that even though they're in the middle of the season, you know, things might back off a little bit because you don't have all that intense activity. It's just kind of maintenance. This week is a brutal, brutal heat. It's going to be 100 degrees on the thermometer Wednesday and Thursday, we expect. And even though it is humid, we're not getting rain. At least it looks like that's going to be the case. How does that affect your crops? You know, we hate it, but I mean, and I would assume that dry is and hot is bad, but is there anything that's good for?
Well, at the end of the day, we have to have sunshine, and we have to have heat to make our crops grow. So they do like that. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like we'll be getting any precipitation this week. So, you know, it is beginning to get dry. This is the time of the year where you can get an inch or two today and basically it be gone tomorrow due to the heat and the humidity and the wind and so forth. So it's going to be a dry week, but it's going to be a hot week. Interesting that you asked me that. Cotton especially loves heat. And there have been all kinds of studies done on it. And cotton growth is very predictable. The growth of the cotton plant is very predictable. Excuse me. You know that in so many days it should be at this stage, so many days it should be at that stage, all the different phases of growth for the plant. But they've broken it down into heat units. And a heat unit is, if you take the temperature, the high temperature today, add it to the low temperature for today, and then divide it by 2 and subtract 60. They subtract 60 because any temperature below 60 degrees, they've learned that the plant isn't developing any. It isn't moving forward any.
Okay.
So the plant itself, a cotton plant, from the time you plant it to the time you harvest it, has to have, you know, roughly about 2,500, they call these DD60s, degree days above 60. So it has to have about 2,500-ish of these units to produce the cotton, you know, to have an end product that we need. So I think that's pretty cool. And in the environment that we're in, you know, like this week, we're going to make a lot of those DD60s in a short amount of time. So this will speed, you know, if the whole summer was this hot, it would speed our crop up dramatically.
Really? And so basically the cotton just needs that much heat, and hot, not hot, whatever, just mostly changes the duration of making sure that it's got what it needs.
Correct.
Huh, interesting. Yeah, I learn stuff every week with you. You got a farm fact for us this week? Often that's kind of how we finish.
I do. So since we're talking about cotton, I thought this was a very neat fact. cotton has a neutral greenhouse footprint. And now this is what's cool to me. The amount of CO2 removed by cotton plants worldwide each year is the equivalent to taking 7 million cars off of the road.
Wow.
So I think that's...
So
that's just from one crop that we grow, you know,
which makes sense because they're a carbon dioxide in breather. That's what they're going to take in. And so interesting. Yep. All right. Yeah. Yep. We typically, we think much about, farm crops as being part of the solution. I typically think of, trees and grass and things in forests and jungles. I don't typically think of farm crops, but that makes sense. If they're going to take in carbon dioxide, that's helping, that's helping that issue. Right. Ryan Jenkins, he is the owner of Jenkins Farms in Jay, Florida, joins us every week at this time. Ryan, thanks as always for what you do, informing us and feeding and clothing my kids, man. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I hope you have a good week and stay cool.